Again, on behalf of the, of Deacon Bill Arthur and Pastoral Associate Darren C. Woodis, I'm very happy to have you here in worship, whether in person or via live stream, as we worship God together. I also, in a special way, welcome any newcomers to Holy Family Church, and if you do not have a parish in which you call home, I invite you to prayerfully consider joining Holy Family Church. We are rebuilding after we have been affected by the pandemic. We hope to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, reclaim the momentum of growth that we had before the pandemic. I trust that by the power of the Holy Spirit and our cooperation with the Holy Spirit, that will take place. And I also welcome those who have not been here since the pandemic started. I'm happy that you're here. I hope that you see that we try to keep people safe here, that the policy is that we can coexist whether you want to wear a mask or not. Although some people may be happy to wear a mask as I use incense today. I do hear a little less coughing right now. But we don't ask questions. We respect people's privacy and choice. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and regardless of that decision, we still care for one another, particularly those who are vulnerable among us. We welcome families with young children, and we don't expect total silence here in the nave. It's only when they unintentionally want to shout me down or shout the minister of music down that I invite you to visit the narthex where there's audio, or you can go into our multi-purpose room where we have video and audio there, and then when they settle down, come right back in. But families with young children are welcome here. We know it's difficult to get them all ready and get them out, and you want to come on time and all of that. But it's good to see all of you here as we worship the Lord on this Easter Sunday of the resurrection. And indeed, this is a festive time, and we demonstrate that by our worship as well as what we do at home in our celebrations. And we are accustomed to giving greetings like Happy Easter or a Blessed Easter. There is an ancient Christian greeting, mainly said by Eastern Catholics and Eastern Orthodox Christians, which is tied to the chapter from the Gospel of Luke after the disciples in Emmaus had seen the Lord and returned back to Jerusalem. That phrase is, Christ is risen, and the response is, truly, he is risen. And I'm going to invite you to help me to preach today. When I say Christ is risen, you'll say, truly, he is risen. Christ is risen. Oh, that's great. That's a good volume there. Christ is risen. But I don't want you to respond to this right now, because in the gospel reading, it was more of a question mark. Christ is risen? Well, you believe truly he is risen, but they said truly? Because what happened in the gospel reading today? First, we have the women who approached the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ early on the first Easter Sunday, and they did not expect Jesus to be alive. They expected Jesus to be dead, because they had brought the spices used to anoint bodies for burial. They did not have time on Friday, as the sun was going down and the Sabbath was beginning. And so now that the Sabbath had come to an end, they expected to anoint Jesus' body for burial, but they saw that the stone that had sealed the tomb was now rolled away, and that the tomb was open. They entered the tomb. They did not see the body of the Lord Jesus, and instead of concluding that Jesus had risen from the dead, they were puzzled by the whole thing. And then the angels came, and they were terrified. No triumphal experience right at that point. They're terrified. They bow their faces to the ground, and the angels say, why are you looking for the living one among the dead. Jesus has done just as he said. He said three times in the Gospel of Luke that he would be handed over to sinners. He would take up his cross. He would be crucified and die on the cross. But on the third day, he would rise from the dead. And then Luke the evangelist said they remembered his words. But it doesn't say they believed in his words. But they went and told what they heard from the angels to the 11 apostles, Judas had left the scene, and to the rest of the Christian community. And what was the response? They didn't believe a word they said. But Peter went to the tomb, and he saw it as the women had seen. He saw the burial cloths were there. And while some people could have said that they stole the body of Jesus, it was in such a condition that maybe that wasn't the case. But the gospel says that Peter left amazed, but it didn't say that he believed. What a strange gospel to have on Easter Sunday of the resurrection of the Lord. But that is what the first Christians experienced when they first heard the news. For the resurrection was something totally unexpected in regards to something that was not even experienced. Yes, Peter and James and John had accompanied Jesus on a mountain after he predicted the first time that he would undergo his passion and rise from the dead, and they saw that Jesus was totally transfigured. The glory of the Lord shone through him, but they still didn't understand at that point what it meant that Jesus would rise from the dead. And there wasn't a whole lot of belief. When people come on Easter or Christmas, there's a wider range of belief in the congregation. Some are very strong in their faith, and they experience this as a time of renewal. Some are struggling with their faith. They have a lot of questions and doubt. Some people are somewhere in between. And there were a whole lot of reactions to the resurrection. As I said before, some people said that it did not happen. They stole the body of Jesus, and the first disciples of Jesus were perpetrating a prank on the whole world. Some thought, well, the resurrection's kind of an analogy. You know, his teaching continues in the hearts and minds of his followers, like an ancient philosopher who's now dead and gone. But that's not what the truth of the resurrection is about. For later on in this chapter from the Gospel of Luke, they saw the risen Lord. They saw that he had risen body and soul from the dead by his own power in cooperation with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That he had a glorified body that was not limited by time or space. They could touch his glorified body. And in his glorified body, they saw the wounds that had been inflicted upon him when he was crucified. Those wounds were still there in his glorified body to show that that which had sought to destroy him could not defeat him. They could talk with the risen Lord. They saw the risen Lord eat. They began to accept the truth that Jesus had risen from the dead. They had the conviction, after being confused, that Christ is risen. Oh, I need to hear better conviction. Christ is risen. They had the conviction that the Lord had risen from the dead. And it didn't matter what other people had to say. How do we know this? It's because the message of the angel was communicated to us through the church. The community of believers who had struggled with their confusion, which then led to a conviction that God is not a liar, He is a Lord who loves us and can be trusted, and that whatever He promises would be fulfilled. And so I say to those of you who may be struggling in any aspect of faith, even wondering about what you call the institution of the church, Christ did not give up on the church when there were a lot of unbelievers in the church, when there were people in the church who had abandoned the Lord, who had not lived according to His teaching. Christ had patience with them, drew them back to Himself so they could work through their doubts and then come to a definitive conclusion that what God had promised had come to pass. The only reason why we believe in this is because the Gospels were given to us by our God through His church. But the church was the one to determine, by influence of the Holy Spirit, what Gospels can we trust to be the Word of God. And we can trust this because the Holy Spirit would not have allowed the first Christians to act as if they didn't have any trouble believing. But they did, until they had a definitive faith in Christ our Lord. You see, when you accept the truth of the resurrection of Christ, you accept how Christ chooses to present Himself. Jesus presented Himself in His glorified body through the church, and then He said that He was going to be present to succeeding generations through His church, through word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness, through the gathering of the believers, through works of mercy to serve those who are vulnerable in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, just like them, we're called to accept the Lord Jesus as He chooses to present Himself, because Christ is risen. All right, so it led to a transformation in people's lives. They knew they could not just say it upon their lips that the Lord is risen from the dead. It was going to have an impact in their lives. If the Lord's teaching about His cross and resurrection were fulfilled, then all the other teachings He gave to help us to live as beloved sons and daughters of God are true, and we are to live according to them, whether they are comforting or consoling, whether they are challenging or correcting. They are expressions of His love for us. He wants us to live in true freedom. The enemy of our souls wants us to think that whatever the Lord teaches is restrictive, but it is eternally redeeming, and that it is worth striving to conform our lives to it, because Christ is risen. And the first generation of Christians were able to undergo that transformation, and even though they were persecuted because of their faith, others came to believe in Christ because they saw the transformation in people who were just like us, who had struggled to believe, and then lived according to the convictions of their belief. And that belief could not be shaken because they saw in the Lord God and Savior that when He had picked up His cross, first of all, He had been handed over by one of His closest associates, betrayed. He had been betrayed by the one He had appointed as the head of the apostles. At one point, that apostle denied that he even knew the Lord, didn't even think Jesus existed, at least not in his world, until he repented with tears later on. Unfortunately, the first apostle thought he couldn't repent and lived in despair. And then there were other apostles, for the most part, who had said that they would be with Jesus all the way. But when Jesus picked up the cross, they picked up and left. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was scourged. Jesus was lied upon. Jesus was part of an alliance between some religious leaders and the civil authorities to put him to death. He had people say that they would believe in him if they would accept their terms for how that they would accept him, meaning that they rejected how he revealed himself to us. And then he bore those wounds of rejection as he was nailed to the cross. And yet he continued to believe in the love that his Father has for him. And he continued to believe. We continued to express his love for us. He was obedient to doing the Father's good will, even until death, even though death was the consequence of the disobedience of the first human beings who did not want to follow the teachings of God. And therefore, Jesus' death, through his obedience, through his conflict with the world, which was created by God to be good but wounded by the original sin of disobedience, Jesus' death, through his obedience to the Father, conquers the consequences of our death due to disobedience in the world. And so the first Christian said, if our Lord and Savior could conquer over all of that, and if through holy baptism the Savior's life comes to dwell within us, then I have all the power that I need to overcome anything that would seek to destroy me, that would seek to debase me, that would seek to strip away my dignity. And none of that has to happen unless I allow people to do it to me. Or I allow the situation to do it to me. I will continue to believe I'm a beloved child of God. I'm going to continue to believe that the love of God will have the victory because Christ is risen. When you believe in the truth of the resurrection, you experience a transformation in your life. It's a gradual transformation of continuing conversion. You don't give up if you sin because by his resurrection, we can experience the forgiveness of our sins and to continue to grow as his believers. And then we are called to testify to the resurrection of the Lord. No, we're not perfect. The first Christians were not perfect. But Jesus trusted in their testimony. And he trusts in your testimony and in my testimony. We're about to renew our baptismal promises. The fact that we have been baptized is not just a recognition of a past event. It is something that is an ongoing reality in our lives. Some of you do not remember when you were baptized. I was baptized as an infant. That was the practice of the early church. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, when whole households were baptized. You do not read in the Acts of the Apostles that whole households were baptized unless they were under the age of 7. Because baptism is not something that we do for God. Baptism is what God does for us. And so, God immerses us into his very life. God identifies himself with us in his passion, death, and resurrection. Just as he has died to sin, we are to die to sin. So that if people ask you why you don't do things that conflict with the values that Jesus gives to us, all we need to say is, because Christ is risen. And then I rise to glorify God in my thoughts, words, and actions. And if people think that you're being holier than thou, or you think that you're better than other people, it's really an excuse that other people do when they're intimidated by people who want to live by conviction. But you can't testify just to yourself. You testify to Christ working within you because Christ is risen. So when you say I do to the questions of renouncing sin, renouncing Satan, who is the author and the prince of sin, you are acknowledging that you believe in the truth of the resurrection of the Lord who destroyed the works of Satan. When you say I do to the fact that you believe that God the Father exists, God the Son exists, that he came to save us from our sins, that God the Holy Spirit has come, that he fills our lives, that he empowers us to be one holy Catholic and apostolic church, you are saying you believe in the truth of the resurrection. We prayed at the beginning of Holy Mass that this celebration of Easter would be a time of renewal, not only for those who are strong in their faith, but even for those who are struggling with it. Let us help one another as members of the church, but this is the context that Christ has established for us to grow in our faith, to believe in him through belonging to his church, so that we can bless our communities. This is the mission not only of Holy Family Catholic Church, which you see on the cover of our bulletin and on our website, it's the mission of the Universal Church. We just say it because we want to do what Christ asked his first disciples to do on that first Easter. Where at the end of the Gospel of Luke, he said, I trust you to go and proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins, because I have risen from the dead, and this victory is not for me alone, it is for all who desire to receive it. And that is why when you go forth from this church, we need to demonstrate not only by what we say upon our lips, but how we conduct our lives, that Christ is risen.